Well, let's pick up on that point now with our next guest, Richard Trumpkin, the president of the AFL-CIO, the largest federation of unions in the United States, 13.5 million members. Richard Trumpkin, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, what are you expecting will be the result of this court ruling on any NLRB decisions that were made?
Very little. They'll be able to reissue anything that's still outstanding, and those that are already moot will just go their own way. I just would point out that let's remember how that case got there. It was the Republicans refused to confirm anybody for the NLRB. The NLRB was then non-functional, and it had an agency that was designed to protect workers that couldn't function at the design of the Senate Republicans. And so the president, after trying numerous times to get them to confirm his appointees, took action. And remember this, you sloughed over this just a little bit. They were out of session, all right. They would send somebody in, one person in, who would bang the gavel and then bang the gavel
right,
and
start
close
the session and end the session.
So they weren't there for weeks on end.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the idea of gridlock because it gets us to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. The federal government has not raised the minimum wage in years now, and there's been a push by the Obama administration to do that. But what's happening now is that states and cities are starting to raise the minimum wage. You're here today in Massachusetts because the state's governor just signed a bill today that will increase Massachusetts's minimum wage by $1 each year up until 2017. There was an announcement from IKEA, the home furnishing giant, just today that it's going to raise its minimum wage for employees from $9.17 an hour to $10.76. Is all of this that's happening in the states and the cities and companies going to stop any possible momentum in Washington on this issue?
Well, I don't know that there is any momentum on the issue
okay,
right now.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's been the momentum's been all out in the field. Everybody in the field realizes the importance of raising wages. You raise wages, you create demand, you create jobs, you get a strong economy. And what we have is the gridlock where we can't get the business of the country done. So state after state, city after city are passing these bills and raising the wages for everybody. But, you know, I really should say this, that even if we get the minimum wage raised for everyone, that's not the end of the question, because there's still a lot of people that are above the minimum wage, whose wages have been stagnated for a decade or two. They're unable to cope because they're getting squeezed every year. So we really have to look at a mechanism to get more money in the hands of America's workers and give them a fair share of the wealth that they produce. Our idea is to bring collective bargaining to everyone, whether you have a union or not.
Well, and we're going to get to that because the labor movement in general has seen a declining membership over many, many, many decades now and whether you can turn that around. But what is a fair wage right now? What's a fair minimum wage in this country, do you think?
Well, let me tell you what a fair wage isn't. You shouldn't be able – the minimum wage shouldn't – it should lift you out of poverty. It shouldn't trap you in poverty. And that's what's happening right now. You can earn the minimum wage, work 40 hours a week, and at the end of the year, you're still below the poverty level. We look more at a living wage. A living wage should be up around $15, $17 for every American out there so that you can actually send your kids to school, you can have a decent home, and you can build the middle class the way we used to do it. The middle class is getting assaulted right now. And it is really, really hurting the country.
Well, then why is it only Seattle that we're seeing this $15 minimum wage or living wage, as you call it?
Well, it's gaining momentum everywhere. You're starting to see it in more municipalities. You're starting to see it talked about in more and more states. Massachusetts increasing the minimum wage today. That's a good start. It leads us in the right direction. But even the governor today, when he signed the bill, said, this is a start. We have to get to a living wage because what you need – are Americans making a fair wage for a fair day's work so that the economy can grow? That's the best way to grow the economy.
Well, then why are the forces that are working to stop that from happening winning in so many places?
Because Washington is awash with money from lobbyists. Take this, for instance. The tipped wage right now is $2.13 an hour. It's been that way since 1991. By the way, 77% of the people who earn tipped wage are women.
This is people who rely on tips for a lot of their income.
Correct.
Right.
So they get $2.13 an hour. The lobbyist, the hotel and the restaurant, I should say, the restaurant industry, lobbies. They know that it's not fair. They know that they can support a business and still pay a fair wage. They do it everywhere else in the world except here. In Europe, they get decent wages, $17, $18, $20 an hour as a waiter or a waitress. Same job they do here. And those restaurants are making money. So we can do it. But the lobby prevents that from happening.
We just have a few seconds left, but I want to just talk about the labor movement in general. Just since 1983, union membership rate in this country was 20%. Last year, 11.3%. Is there a quick answer to turn that around?
Well, first of all, we actually grew last year, not as a percentage, but we grew about 200,000 members. The answer is change America's labor laws, bring them into the 21st century, and watch people demand collective bargaining.
Richard Trumka is president of the AFL-CIO. President Trumka, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan.
This is Here and Now.